On this edition of Sports with Perk, we're here with Dave High. Welcome to the couch, Dave High.
Good to be here, Perk.
Yeah, Dave, things are exploding all around us as far as good sports stories locally, right? UM football looking up 18 in the preseason AP poll. Miami Marlins around the 500 mark, at the 500 mark, just 5.5 out of the second wild card spot. College football starting up. We've got a lot of optimism around our local teams. Great time to be around here, and NBA-wise, Miami Heat hasn't really done anything, but there is a trade that we've got to talk about that could affect their ascent in the
Eastern
Conference.
Worst possible news for them, Perk.
I think so.
But in the big picture, God, it's time for one of these other teams to rise up. We've been a decade of average at best, just waiting for some team to get. Maybe UM's ready to take that step now. Yep. I hope, you know, the Marlins haven't been in the playoffs since 2003.
Right.
I'm not predicting them to make it this year, but the fact that they're back to 500 is an achievement for them.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, let's start off with UM because Coach Mark Richt named his starting quarterback. It's Malik Rozier, and I've been told that it's Rozier and not Rozier. That was news to me.
Good for you. I was going to correct you.
That's what I was told. That is Rozier. I don't know.
Okay.
But what do you think about that decision, Nicosi Perry? Rozier, the redshirt junior, been there for a while, made one start against Duke. Nicosi Perry, the hyped freshman, the true freshman, he was the guy that people were looking at. What about Mark Richt's decision?
Well, I think you look at it same way you look at Adam Gase when he makes a quarterback decision. Richt especially is quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Okay, Gase especially is quarterbacks. When he went out and got Jay Cutler, you said, look, he knows the guy. Same with Mark Richt. He's worked with Rozier for over a year now. And I think we're in the stage of he knows the system. He's knows what to do with the offense. And there's a comfort level that with even a very talented freshman coming in, mm-hmm. he's not there yet to start the year. So on the other hand, if there was ever a time to start a true freshman, it's probably them with their schedule. Three of their first games are scheduled wins, Florida State being the fourth. But ultimately on this, I defer to the guy who works with them and his specialty, and we'll see where it goes.
And he should have enough tools to succeed around him, right? With Amon Richards at wide receiver, Braxton Berrios, I guess, to a smaller extent, Mark Walton at the running back, Chris Herndon at tight end. Offensive line still needs a little work, but defensively, the front seven should be very, very good. So Rozier really doesn't, he has to be good, but not outstanding, not Heisman Trophy good.
Look, in college, you can work around an average quarterback. In the pros, you can't.
Yeah.
In college game, you can't. Nick Saban said it best to me. And a guy running 4.6, 4.7, a quarterback running 4.6 and 4.7 is a great athlete, and you work with that. In the pros, you'll get killed running that, trying to run a quarterback doing that. So there's a big difference. They'll be fine just for you. Two reasons. What you said, the talent around them, and their schedule. They have a very good schedule this year. You know, their coastal division isn't, you know, as talented as it's been. Nope. And they don't play the Louisville, Clemsons that they've had to in the past. So, you know, it's set up to have a good year for them.
Do you expect improvement in the record? They were 9-4 last year, finished winning their last five, including the bowl game. Is this a double-digit win team?
Well, to me, it's a Coastal Division win team. That's the goal. Now, whatever that take, and it's just stunning to me. Here we are a decade after they've been in this, and we're still, the bar has sunk so far on UM.
It has, Dave.
In my time covering, you know, that the last decade, just win the Coastal Division.
Right, exactly.
We'll be happy.
Get in the championship game.
That was a given when they went into it a decade ago.
It was.
And they haven't done it yet.
Yeah, incredible. Let's go to the Marlins, Dave, because for, I don't know, weeks, couple of months, the sale of the Marlins. Get Lurie out of town. That was the big talk. Now you've got these guys at 500, 5.5 behind Colorado for the second wild card spot. Giancarlo Stanton, career high in home runs. He's on pace to hit 60 or more. What is the best story with this Marlins team right now, do you think?
Stanton, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, he and I talked to him last week about the home run record, and he considers 62 you know, Roger Maris is 61. 62 as the official mark.
That was so interesting.
Then he came back later and expounded a little
more. Your column
more
was really good, because, how he came back to talk to reporters.
Which for him, you know, know, he's not a real media.
Loquacious, yeah, talkative.
He doesn't like to talk. So for him to come back out, it was sick. But, you know, put an asterisk by his name if he hits 62 in a good way.
Right.
Because we're in a drug testing era.
Yep.
I would love for him to challenge that mark. It would be a lot of fun. But he's the best story. Now, what Don Mattingly has done, keeping everybody pointed toward winning through this season, 5-20 in May, to now where they're back in the playoff picture. We'll see where it goes from here. But for Matt, what Mattingly has done, you know, and it really shows they've built rebuilt a professional organization. You know, and now the sale comes, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, and as far as Ozuna also having a nice year, mentioned him, other guys are having nice years. But as far as the sale, what is the big thing there? That fans
fumigation.
I agree with you.
Front office fumigation.
I agree.
Okay?
I agree.
None of this year we're doing this, and next year we're doing this. Payroll's going from here like a yo-yo.
Yep.
Now they'll have professional. If Derek Jeter comes in and runs the baseball side, not as general manager, but sort of overlord to everything, you look at his career, what he'd done, the professional standards he set for himself, and you hope he goes out and brings in some Yankees with those same standards. And the big question is, they're going to have to trade players. They cannot maintain this. First of all, this is look at the pitching staff. The fact they're winning now
is
shocking.
Yep.
With what the pitching they have, so they need to go out. They need to get younger. They need to get better pitching. And the only way to do that is trade some of the big stuff. Ozuna coming out. I'm sure they're going to trade Stanton or that's going to be on the table.
If you could do a Herschel Walker type deal, I know that's pie in the sky. I probably shouldn't even mention that name, but that's what you're shooting for. If you're going to trade a guy like Stanton, right? You rebuild your team with those assets.
You would love to. Now, the problem there is the team's taking on a huge salary, too. So you're not going to get prospects and taking the salary.
Right.
So we'll have to see how that all works
out. Last thing on the Marlins real quick. Michael Hill and David Sampson. Does it matter to fans? Does it matter to the baseball operation whether they stay or go? I think it matters to fans. Does it hurt the Marlins baseball operation if they're not back in their current roles under new ownership?
No, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2003.
Right.
So they've had plenty of chances to build a winner and to build. And
do fans care?
In total fairness, well, the fans want everybody out.
Yeah, they don't want to hear those names associated with the team anymore.
Who cares about them? You know
what? It's separate
those
issues.
Those fans, all of them saying, oh, I'll be back when they're new owners. Right. No, you won't be. Don't give me
that. Right, everybody's sitting at home with the beer and the remote.
There'll be an uptick of, oh, we love Jeter, and then, oh, wait, they're not going to be any good? Oh, so we're not. We'll come back in 3 years when you're good. You know, it ain't going to change.
Real quick, the NBA had a trade between Boston and Cleveland, the principals, Kyrie Irving going to Boston, Isaiah Thomas going to Cleveland. How does this affect the Miami Heat? It would seem that ceiling, that getting up there is a lot tougher now into the Eastern Conference Finals. You thought before, okay, it's Cleveland, probably Boston, maybe Washington. Now it appears Cleveland-Boston, right?
To me, it's the worst trade that could have happened if you're a Heat fan. Because not only for this year, which the Heat weren't going to get by Cleveland or Boston with Gordon Hayward probably, but for future years, what happens now? Boston is building around Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving, and they have the means to still do so. Cleveland, even if LeBron leaves now, they're going to have a quicker rebuild with the New York, New Jersey Nets.
Brooklyn, excuse me.
I'm going through the whole spiel. Right. But the Nets could be a top pick, certainly top three, top five pick. And the Heat aren't going to get beyond either of those teams as presently constructed without great internal development because they don't have an all-star on the team.
Yeah.
And so, worst possible trade that could have happened for them.
All right, we'll wrap it up with this. Speaking of the all-star, chances Dwayne Wade gets bought out by Chicago and returns to the Miami. Yeah, I got to finish it. I know.
I hope that doesn't happen.
Is that right?
I really hope it doesn't happen for both sides.
Impede the development of the younger players on the Heat, do you think?
Well, it changes. Why were the Heat good last year? Because Goran Dragic and Dion Waiters would drive to the basket.
Energy.
They led the league in drives to the basket, kick back to three. That's not Dwayne Wade's game.
No.
So we're talking chemistry issues, strategy issues, everything. But for PR, it'd be good to bring him back here. for everything else, including Dwayne.
Yeah.
You know, have him go to Cleveland, try to make a run with LeBron. Oof.
How would Heat fans respond to that?
Well, again, Heat fans are not gonna like that.
Right, they're not gonna like it. But he would be eventually welcomed back into the Heat family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think
mean,
so
I mean,
too.
Look,
it would sting.
Look what the Heat has forgiven. Everything from Alonzo dumping them after they slept with him for 6 months.
Pat forgives Shaq.
Took a big Shaq.
Right, his jersey is,
They'll forgive LeBron in a few years.
In due time,
Right. And look, Dwayne isn't even close to any of those.
Right. All right, that's the word. That's Dave Hyde. I'm Chris Perkins. You're watching Sports with Perk on SunSentinel.com.